I'm glad about that. Amen. I'm glad I'm on the winning side. I played football in high school and college, and I know what it is to ride a bus when we didn't win. That's not fun. The bus rides are real quiet coming home. But I'll tell you what, when you win, you sure have a lot of fun and yelling and screaming and laughing and giggling and, you know, and you know that you're not going to have to wear pads Monday morning, amen. It's going to be easy Monday morning, amen. So, amen. Well, take your Bibles, Matthew chapter 3. I want to show you a little, just a couple words, three words, in chapter 3, verse 13. You see it there? First three words, then cometh Jesus. The Bible says, then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. John the baptizer was baptizing in the River Jordan, and he was preaching to prepare the people for the coming Messiah. They weren't sure who the Messiah was going to be, but they knew he was coming. Just like today, we know that the Lord's coming back. We're not exactly sure when he's coming back, but I'll tell you what, we can certainly see signs of his coming back. This world is so crazy. You know, it's amazing. I'm watching the political issues and things that are going on. It's amazing. People vote for anybody. They vote for anybody. You know, and just as long as they got enough money and enough this and that. They right now, I think the world's just about ready to have a world leader, the Antichrist. I mean, it's the point now. They're even talk of some certain person that wants to be the head of the United Nations, and people are, and there's a lot of Christians today are getting a little getting kind of jumpy, not the bad jumpy, but the exciting jumpy. Every time they hear a horn honk, they jump. They think that's the Lord's coming back. Amen. You know. I heard one man said, I believe the Lord's coming back so soon that Gabriel's up in heaven licking his lips. Right? He said, Lord, do you want me to blow it now? Do you want me to blow it now? The Bible says, the trumpet of God shall sound, dead in Christ arise, and they that remain shall be caught up and will ever be with the Lord. Praise the Lord about that. So we as Christians, when we're looking at all this junk that's going on today, we know that the Lord's coming back. And it gives us a new outlook on life. That's the way they were in John the Baptist's time. They were looking for the Messiah. They're looking for someone to take them out of the troubles and the turmoil and the trials of the Roman government. They wanted someone to step in. They didn't care who it was. They didn't care what it was. They were just looking for someone to give them some relief. Amen. Kind of reminds me of the old story that Jerry Clower told about the man that was there out hunting one night, and a guy climbed a tree, thought he saw a raccoon up there, and all of a sudden it happened to be one of those mountain lions, you know, and all of a sudden there commenced a fight like you never heard before. There was hair and feathers and all kinds of things going on, shoot up here! Shoot up here, old Ledbetter said. Shoot up here! He said, well, I don't know what. He said, man, shoot up here. Somebody's got to get some relief. Amen. And that's really what people are doing today. They're looking for relief. These people in John the Baptist's time are looking for relief. They had really had it. Their government was so corrupt. Then the government of Rome, of course, had to stick their nose into their government's ideas, and they were really having a hard time. And so we see this wonderful three words in chapter 3 and verse 13. Would you tell me what it is? Say it. Then. Yeah, amen. That's what we're looking for. Amen. That's what we're looking for. Then cometh Jesus. Listen to that mighty prophet in the wilderness. He lifts up his mighty voice and he points at Jesus Christ. And he says, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the earth. There he is. That's he. That's him. Jesus says, baptize me. He says, Lord, I'm not even worthy to take your shoes off. Unlatch your shoes. I can't even do that. He said, you baptize me now. And he did it. We see other places in the scriptures when Jesus comes. A blind man that cries, he hears Jesus coming, and he just keeps screaming and hollering to people, shut up, and he won't shut up. Then Jesus came, and he said, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me. And Jesus came. Notice the world tried to shut up and keep him from seeing Jesus. There's a lot of people that today. A lot of people trying to shut the Christians up and shut up, you know, we don't want nothing to do with you. The world has always tried to do their best to shut up people, to keep anyone or everyone from seeing Jesus Christ. The world told that man, keep silent. But then cometh Jesus, amen. The mother and the father that brings their children, the babies, to Jesus were shoved away and said Jesus had no time for it. He's too busy. They told them that Jesus was way too busy for their little ones. Let me tell you something. God's never too busy for your little ones. You mommies and daddies got those little ones at home? Boy, you need all Jesus you can get out of them. Amen. There's a lot of trouble, a lot of sorrow out there. We need them to have Jesus. Amen. Well, glory to God. Then cometh Jesus, and he said, no, you disciples, you can get out of the way. And the Bible said he took them in his arm, and he touched them, and he blessed them. I don't know about you, that's what I want Jesus to do to my children, amen, and my grandchildren. Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews, the Bible talked about him. He was a Pharisee. He's a religious ruler that spent time in the life learning the scriptures and keeping all the rules and regulations. John chapter 4:3 tells about him. He was the Jewish head of Jewish religion back in those days. Found that there was something missing in his life and came one lonely night to the door of that man. That exceptional great teacher who taught parables and was doing unbelievable miracles that no one could do nor explain. His name, Jesus. Nicodemus' synagogue was abuzz with what this man was doing. Then he came to Jesus and found what true concept of eternal life was about. And Jesus said, Nicodemus, except you be born again, you will not see heaven. Then again, except you're born again, you will not enter into heaven. Hey, most people, most Bible commentaries, I've read them, they think that Nicodemus was the most religious man on the world that day. But he's just religious. He did not have the Son of God in his heart and his life. But when he came to Jesus, Jesus told off. We don't hear too much about Nicodemus except for a little bit. And he stands up against the rest of the priests and them. And he said, wait a minute, you better not judge him like that. You can't do it. If he's of God, what can you do? And then all of a sudden we see him. We see Joseph Arimathea and Nicodemus taking the body of Jesus Christ and burying him. So we know that sometimes people call him the secret disciple, the secret admirer of Jesus Christ. Then cometh Jesus. Oh, then cometh Jesus to the well of Samaria. He said, I must go through there. And the woman at the well met the answer of all her troubles. He said, are you married? And she said, no. He said, you've had five husbands, and you're living with one that doesn't. That is not your husband. See, this woman thought she had all the answers. You can listen to her. She tells the story of Jesus Christ. But then cometh Jesus into her life, and he told her all things. And the Bible said she left her pot of water at the well and ran back to the city and said, I found him. I found him. He told me everything. The Bible said they all came out. And many of them came to Christ because of that time that he came to her. Luke chapter 8, verse 26 to 35, we find the story of the poor maniac, the crazy lunatic, the possessed of the devil, reported by him of the people that he would run naked around in the graveyard of Gadara and scaring people and yelling and screaming and cutting himself. The city's fathers tried to imprison him, tried to tie him down, tried to make him an upstanding citizen, but to no avail. He just running naked through the cemetery. They tried everything, but they could not subdue him. They could not make him stop his crazy actions. Then one day, came with Jesus. And Jesus came into life and all the things became new in that man's life. Luke chapter 8 verse 35 said, then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man, this the crazy man, out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. That's the world, isn't it? You let some crazy get Jesus in his heart, and their life turns around and changes. They clean up, they fix up, they do right, and the world says, that's scary. I don't want nothing to do with it. Let me tell you something, folks. When I was 14 years old, I was a crazy. Jesus saved my wretched soul. I was a wicked little boy. But God saved my soul, amen. And you say, what happened to you? I'll tell you what happened to me. Jesus happened to me, amen. Well, I hadn't lived for him perfect all the time, but I'll tell you what, when I don't like it, amen. It used to be when I used to live wicked, if I got away with it, I was happy. But then when I got saved and tried to live wicked, I was unhappy. Because I wanted to get back with the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that right? Isn't that the way it's supposed to be? Amen. Luke chapter 8, verse 41 through 46, we find two hopeless people come to Jesus with great problems. One is a ruler of the synagogue, a priest. And the other is a woman that had been ill for many years. And she could not find relief. Notice what the Bible says in Luke chapter 8, verse 41, if you turn there. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet. Here we got a problem. You know what the problem is? The Bible says that during the time Jesus Christ was, if you were a Jew and you call upon the name of Jesus Christ, they would excommunicate you out of their temple. Let me tell you something. This man took a chance on his job and his livelihood and the thing that he had lived for all his life, the ruler of the synagogue. But let me tell you something. When you get a little girl sick in your home and you know that baby's about to die, you'd do anything. Amen? Amen? We'd do anything. We'll sell everything we have. We'll give up everything. We'll do everything we can just for a precious life. And so this man came, named Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet. Get that now. He submitted himself and besought him that he would come into his house, for he had only one daughter, about 12 years old, and she lay dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. Let me remind you, dear Christian friends, most people don't care about anything but themselves. They don't care about your kid. They don't care about your husband. They don't care about your wife. They don't care about your trouble you're having in your marriage. All they can think about is themselves. They're like a bunch of pigs. You pour the hog slop off, they don't care who they're going to run over, but they're going to get their part of the slop. Just tell them the way it is, amen. Heartaches come, sorrows come, troubles come in your heart, and troubles come in your life, and I'll tell you something, for the most part, you're all by yourself. You're all by yourself. Aren't you? You're all by yourself. Some of you have suffered the death of a loved one. First couple days, everybody's there. Next week, nobody's there. That's real life. That's real life, isn't it? Come on. through life. That's why, thank God, you got your B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, Bible. That's why we got this Bible. That's why we got the knees that we get down on and say, dear God, I'm lonesome. Dear God, I don't know which way to turn. Dear God, help me. The Bible said they thronged him. And while they thronged him, actually stopped. He had just made his proposal to the Lord and said, Lord, my little daughter's dying. And all of a sudden, people shoved him out of the way, it sounds like. And there was a woman with an issue of blood, and neither of them could do anything to help themselves. Jesus knew the lady had a great problem, and that she had touched his garment for healing, the ruler of the synagogue, that needed help. His little daughter was sick, dying, and she's about to die as the Lord was dealing with this woman who had the issue of blood. Then the news came to the ruler that his daughter had passed. She died. Have you ever got so close to something and all of a sudden, time's up? Think about this guy, Miss Phillips. 12-year-old baby. Anybody have a 12-year-old? Can you imagine? You're 12. Can you imagine just the man who just speak the word and heal her? And here comes someone that says, don't bother the master. Don't trouble him. It's all over. What a blow that must have been to that ruler of the synagogue. He risked his job. He risked being the ruler of the Jews for his daughter's life, and now it's for naught. Well, that's what he must have thought. Here this woman got in the way. This lady with the issue of blood for years, she got in the way, and now my daughter's dead. I don't know about you, Rick, but that sure touched my heart as I'm reading this. You may think that all your options in life are used up. That's what you may think right today. You may think that all the options that you have are used up. But let me tell you of a friend of mine. His name is Master King Jesus. The same Jesus who lived 2,000 years ago on this earth and did great and wonderful miracles is still alive and well. Praise the Lord. He is still in the miracle working business. The old world didn't believe that him. What's new? Same as in a new world. Luke chapter 8, verse 53, and they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. See, Jesus came. Jesus came. Here comes Jesus. Came to the house. He going in, and they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. But he put them all out and took her by the hand and called, saying, Maid, arise. And her spirit came again. And she arose straightly, and he commanded them to give her meat. Yet King Jesus cometh. Disciples in the Sea of Galilee feared for their life. The great storm, their boat was taken on water. They woke the master, and they cried, Lord, we perish! And cometh Jesus, and he stilled the water. Mary and Martha in great grief, and their brother is very sick. They send for the master, but he delays his coming, and their brother Lazarus dies. And they bury him. He's been dead for 4 days. Then cometh Jesus. Lazarus! Come forth! The Bible said he come out of that old grave, and they said, the Lord said, take those grave clothes off him. Then come with Jesus. I'm sure glad I serve a living Savior who's in the world today. Children of Israel were so beaten down by the Roman government, so overwhelmed, they were looking and hoping for a national leader. to take them out of their bondage and this powerful Roman authority. Oh, they prayed and cried to God Almighty, if only Messiah, the promise of the Old Testament of the would come, the prophets preaching and said that he would come and rescue them from their plight. Something very strange is happening. They witnessed some very great miracles of this Nazarene who's called his name Jesus. They witnessed the resurrection of his friend Lazarus, which convinces many of them that he is he, Messiah. They remember the exhortation of Zechariah who prophesied in chapter 9, "Rejoice greatly, O daughters of Zion. Shout, O daughters of Jerusalem, behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, upon the colt of the foal of an ass." Let's go over to John chapter 12, verse 12. "On the next day, much people there were come to the feast. When they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, they took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord." And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, and it is written, "Fear not, O daughters of Zion. Behold, the King coming, sitting on a colt's sitting on the ass's colt." "These things understood not his disciples at first, but when Jesus was glorified," in other words, when Jesus was resurrected from the grave, "they remembered that these things that were written of him, that they had done these things unto him. And the people, therefore, that was with him, when he called Lazarus out of the grave, raised him from the dead, bear record. For this cause the people also met him, and they heard that he had done these miracles. And the Pharisees among them themselves perceived ye how ye prevail nothing. Behold, the world is gone after him. Then cometh Jesus on the cold ass." Growing up on a farm in Michigan, I used to get myself in a lot of trouble, like some other farm boys I know. I love to mess with certain things. And one of the messes, I was playing at my grandfather's home, and they were in Florida for the winter, and I went into their home, which is a no, never deal from my parents to me. But I went in and found some great big kitchen matches. And outside I found an old kerosene burner that we used to put under the water tanks, keep the water from freezing for the animals. I took it over to the gas barrel and filled it up. I wanted to make a lantern out of it. When I struck my first match, it went something like this. As a young boy, I did not consider that I should move the kerosene lantern away from the 250-gallon gas barrel. As a young arson, I didn't take in consideration that it would burn very hot and the flames would go higher than the 250-gallon barrel of gas. Now the rest of the story. Praise the Lord, my dad saw that black, orangish flame coming from underneath that 250-gallon tank. And he came across the field flying in a tractor. And when he got there, jumped off that tractor, threw over one of these great big galvanized barrels over top of it, and that gargantuan orange flame and black smoke went away. After he had done with me, that I was not too happy about, I think my dad always coming to my rescue. I was the only boy. I'm sure he was very thankful for that. There's a scripture in the Bible that says, Lord have mercy on me, for my son is a lunatic. I think that's my dad's favorite verse of the Bible. You know, I love my dad. Many, many happy memories. I think of the time when we were starting a church in Minnesota and had eight people there. Eight people started a church. There was nothing. I had to get a job. In fact, I had three jobs plus pastor of the church. I drove semi, I drove school bus, and worked for a company, and I did everything I could to make eight got a living, keep that church going. Every once in a while, my dad would call me. Son, how you doing out there? I said, dirt pretty good. He said, no, tell me the truth. How you doing? He said, can I send you something? I said, Dad, you can send me anything you want. He said, I got a check for $500 I just sent in the mail today to you. I always thought of that, then come with my dad. Many times my dad would come and bail me out of a lot of stuff. A lot of stupid stuff that I got myself into. I know none of you can understand that, but I can. And in 2001, he passed away. I lost my gift giver. Some of you are enjoying the blessings of my father because you're sitting in this auditorium here, because he helped many times. When my father passed away, I got on my knees. I told my God, God, I've had a wonderful earthly father, but I know that you love me even more. And I know that you'll help me. And I know you'll get me through some of this stuff. I can't call Hope, Michigan now and ask my dad, Dad, can you help me out? I'm a little short. I want you to know that we're all child of God. If you've asked the Lord Jesus Christ to be your personal Savior, you are His. We're living in a world of filth and dismay. And it seems like mankind acts worse than the wild beast. And every day the world goes deeper and deeper into sin and degradation. Morals seem to be at a low-time high and certainly emulate Sodom and Gomorrah. And at Noah's day. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, and put darkness for light and light for darkness, and bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. When you have all kinds of troubles and see all kinds of troubles, and it seems that you are unable to bear anyone and bear them anymore, and you are at the point that you cannot handle any, I just want you to remember, then come with Jesus. Praise the Lord. The Bible tells us to live one day at a time. For of the days, then cometh Jesus. One of these days we will hear the great trumpeter of heaven sound, and the Lord will come. Then cometh Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Don't miss this now. Don't miss verse 18. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Comfort one another. It's going to be okay. I remember any time our dog barked on our farm, it was because someone was coming or someone was going. And that old dog would light out barking, barking when somebody coming in. And my old dad go, and old dog come to his side, and he pat him. He said, "That's okay, big fella. It's okay. Easy now. Easy. It's okay." And you know what that dog do? Quiet. A friend of mine riding his horse, and all of a sudden that old horse reared, thought he saw something he didn't. You know, horses can do that, you know. And I heard him say, "Easy, big fella." Pat him on the flank. "Easy. You all right now? You all right?" And that old horse just settled out. Let me comfort you today. It's going to be okay. Troubles and sorrows will come and go. But Jesus will always come and never leave you comfortless. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. The Lord's going to come. Yes, he is. Just get ready. Have it all ready. Have everything taken care of, amen, because the Lord's coming. It wouldn't surprise me that he came tonight. Wouldn't surprise me coming in the morning. It wouldn't surprise me he'd come this week. I have no idea, but I'll tell you what, it's all written on the wall, amen. It's written in this book. He's coming. It's all ready. It's all ready. Aren't you glad you got Jesus in your heart? Maybe you're here tonight, today, and you don't have Jesus in your heart. Maybe you don't have Jesus in your heart. Maybe you're saying, "You know what, preacher, I'm not sure about that." Well, I'll tell you what, as close as Jesus is coming, it'd be a good idea to accept him as personal Savior, because once he comes, you'll lose every opportunity to go to heaven. Because once he comes, he will take us. The Bible said there'll be some grinding. Two will be grinding and one will be taken, the other left. And the Bible said those that are left here will die and burn in hell forever and ever. So get your job done. Invite Jesus. Can't say Jesus hadn't told you about it. In fact, I'm just telling you now. Prepare to meet thy God. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for loving us and caring for us. I pray that you'd speak to us and help us, Lord, today, that we would trust you and know that you are God. Help us, Lord Jesus, today to give our hearts and lives to you. Head your bowed eyes and closed. Going to ask you to stand on your feet. You're here today and say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. I'd sure like to know that." Why don't you step out of that seat, walk down this aisle and say, "Preacher, today, I want Jesus to be my Savior." Why don't you come? If I were to walk up to you and ask you, if you died today, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven? What would your answer be? Say, "Preacher, I don't know that." Hey, that's why you need to come find that out. Why don't you come to Jesus today and ask Jesus to be your Savior? You're today and say, "Preacher, I've been saved, but I haven't followed Lord and believers' baptism. That's down in the water and up out of the water, illustrating the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ." Why don't you come and do that? Maybe you're tonight and you say, today, and you say, "Preacher, we want to become members of this church. This is where we want to serve God at. Why don't you come at this time?" "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved." Well, then come on. Take care of it. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, but today. Take care of it. You're today and you say, "Preacher, I'm not. I haven't followed Lord and believer baptism." Take care of that. You're today and you say, "Preacher, you know, we want to become members of this church. This is where we want to serve at. We feel this is where God has sent us to. Why don't you come?" Father in heaven, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity that we have of serving you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you come. Lord, how many times, thousands if not thousands of thousands, have come to my rescue. You come to the rescue of these dear people that are here today. Lord, thank you that you never get tired of coming. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you love us and care for us. I pray today that you'd help us to walk close to you, Help us live close to you. Help us invite our friends to church and encourage them to serve you. And Lord God, I pray you'd help us now as we go to our separate homes and bring us back tonight. A special time together in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, you're dismissed.